Neighbors near Miller Park claim victory after the Bloomington City Council rejects a liquor license for a new business in the area.
They heard our pleas and it didn't fall upon deaf ears, and it's just like, it's government working the way it should.
That's Chico Russo. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Tuesday, July 23rd. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington-Normal's public media. Let's lead off with the Bloomington City Council taking action on the request of a business owner to sell liquor at a convenience store he hoped to open near Miller Park. WGLT's Mary Cullen has more.
A group of Bloomington residents are applauding the city council for listening to concerns about allowing liquor sales in their West Bloomington neighborhood. The city council voted 5-4 last night to deny Park Pantry's request to sell alcohol. Serena Fish was one of a group of residents that spoke out against it from the start. She says even though the proposal passed the Liquor Commission twice, she didn't feel discouraged.
I think they were looking at it very, very closely because no one wants to turn down any business. But I think as we went through the journey, things kept popping up.
Fish mentions that Park Pantry's initial proposal didn't include outdoor seating and that there was never a clear answer on how much liquor the store would carry. Chico Russo was also in that group of Miller Park neighbors. He says in the end, all of their hard work paid off.
Our due diligence, working the neighborhood, talking to people, and bringing our issues as a neighborhood whole, unified, to the city council, it worked in our favor. They heard our pleas, and it didn't fall upon deaf ears, and it's just like, it's government working the way it should.
Russo says he's disappointed that the council's vote means the owner won't open the store, but
I'm pretty sure that building is not going to stay empty very long. Somebody's going to come in, they're going to see the needs of the neighborhood, they're going to answer them, and we'll be fine.
The business owner previously said he could not open Park Pantry without a liquor license. Russo and his neighbors say when the building's former tenant, Westside Food and Beverage, was still in business and selling liquor, crime in the area went up. For The Leadoff, I'm Mary Cullen.
Here are some of the other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Illinois State University's Board of Trustees will vote this week on a proposal to lease space in the planned Trail East building to open a small business incubator. ISU would enter into a five-year, $840,000 agreement with the developer, Bush Construction. Bloomington's John M. Scott Healthcare Commission will award up to $450,000 in grants to health service agencies this fiscal year. Proposals must work to expand access to care, address behavioral health needs, or promote healthy lifestyles. And four eye care practices are just weeks away from moving into their newly merged Vision Point operation on Bloomington's east side. The $10 million building will open August 6th. It's one of the largest eye care practices in Illinois. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. WGLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas, comes your way at noon and 6 p.m. today. Central Illinois gained nearly 100 new U.S. citizens Friday. Dana Vollmer reports on the naturalization ceremony in Peoria.
It was standing room only as family, friends, and supporters watched 88 Central Illinoisans take the oath of allegiance and officially become American citizens. Collectively, they represent 32 home countries, but many have lived in the U.S. for decades, and the journey to citizenship has been a long one. Mauricio Sadikoff is originally from Brazil. He's lived in the U.S. for 22 years.
It takes a long time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money and just bureaucracy. One time I had to leave a company I was working in legally because the employment authorization I had to be renewed within a four-month period, but it took them 6 months to get me the renewal.
Sadikoff lost his job because of the delay and had to wait to reapply until the work visa finally came through. He says his experience is not uncommon.
It's just a lot of hoops that we have to jump through. It's not an easy process to become an American. I don't know that it should be easy, but it probably shouldn't be this hard.
In order to become a U.S. citizen, a person must have their green card for at least 5 years. They also have to read, write, and speak basic English and be determined to be a person of good moral character. Then there's another 10 steps before the naturalization ceremony. Genesis Regalo Buendia is a volunteer coordinator with the Immigration Project, a nonprofit that provides affordable legal services to immigrants in central and southern Illinois. She says a lot of people get stuck on step one, getting a green card in the first place.
The line in order to apply and get a green card, to just apply for it, not even to get it, is for some countries over 100 years.
Regalo Buendia herself just became a citizen that day. Her parents brought her to the United States from the Philippines on a work visa. They had to wait 10 years for their green card applications to be processed, and then another 5 years to apply for citizenship.
The U.S., my home for most of my life, is now my actual home on paper. It's unfortunate that there are other people trying to get in our position that cannot call this home the same despite being there for even longer than me.
People like Arti Subramanian, who came to the U.S. from India in 2002 and watched her citizenship application hang in limbo from the Bush administration on through the Trump administration.
It's getting harder day by day. I hear people who are waiting behind us for the filing, they are hearing more horror stories than us.
When the honorees crossed the stage in the basement of the Peoria Public Library, they gained a host of new rights. They can register to vote, apply for a passport to travel freely out of the country, avoid the hassle of extra paperwork when applying for jobs or colleges, and they have a better chance of keeping their families together. Subramanian says there's another benefit.
Honestly speaking, it's a pride to say that I am a citizen of America.
U.S. District Judge James Shadid officiated the ceremony, in which he administered the same oath and the same certificate of citizenship his grandparents received after emigrating from Lebanon a century ago.
1919, they arrived here. My grandpa became a citizen in 1930.
Shadid said the event was a reminder of the opportunity he's had because of the decision they made. In his remarks, Shadid pointed out the divisiveness of immigration politics and criticized the unnecessary degrading of people. Sadikov from Brazil says he's received nothing but support from his community.
But it is really weird to have a president that essentially tries to make me less of an American now that I'm going to get naturalized than somebody that just happened to be born here.
And now Sadikov says he finally has the power to do something about it.
Now I get to have a political say, so I don't think that it is a positive thing to try to create two classes of citizenship. I think if you're a citizen, you're a citizen, and you should be treated as such.
With their certificate and a small American flag in hand, newly minted citizens return to what is finally, officially, their home. I'm Dana Vollmer.
Hear this and other stories at noon and 6 p.m. today during Sound Ideas on WGLT. Before we let you go, the Connect Transit Board of Trustees meets today at 4:30 p.m. They'll discuss a recommendation to delay fixed route and Connect mobility fare increases to January 1st. And the City of Bloomington is hosting a meeting tonight at 6:30 at Luther Oaks to discuss the Wittenberg Woods Park and get some community input. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.